Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I've just called for security to escort two gentlemen out of Grindhouse Killer Burgers. Apparently, they are Bama fans. Hi, yes, you, sir. You.
Well, his son is actually going to the University of Georgia.
What is he talking about? Earlier when I was talking about Georgia, he was like, roll tide. I don't even want to say it.
Well, I believe he is from Alabama.
He's from Alabama?
Yes, and he does have the shirt. I was just reminding him how difficult they struggled against the zone read offense of Gus Malzahn.
That they did.
And we were just talking about that.
He didn't want to talk about that game, did he?
Well, no,
you know what Bama fans say against Florida State? It rained.
Yes.
It rained that night. We don't remember anything.
It rained for both teams. You know? I was there. It did stop raining.
We don't remember. It rained.
You know, no, it rained for like 20 minutes, by the way.
It was bad, though, wasn't it? For
it was a tsunami. It came through there. It was called halftime.
Yeah.
You can dry off, change your shirt. You know, you get back out there.
This is true. No excuses. Thank you guys for being here. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers,
hey,
man.
And while we're giving shout-outs here in Athens, shout-out to Jason and his lovely daughter, Jordan. They just took off.
They just left.
But we're sitting here, and they bought us a round of sodas. And just nice folks. But, yeah, really big listeners, and it's always so much fun to have the audience come out. Captain Gary, our buddy Micah, a lot of folks making the trip that either have kids here or are big dog fans and alum.
Absolutely. And these wonderful folks sitting next to us, Mike.
They're going to the Red-Black baseball game tonight.
They were telling me that. And I'm like, wow. He was actually telling me about some of the guys that they have on the roster, and they're going to go check out some of this new talent and see them. But you know what? And the Dogs, we were just talking about this. Speaking of football, we know it's football season. Should have made the College World Series last year. They got beat.
Oh, yeah.
Before getting there, Super Regionals.
That was a heartbreak.
Oh, they had a really good team. So, Dog fans coming out, man, and hanging out with us here today. We'll be here until 6. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, Steve Koonin is going to join us. Hawks CEO, believe it or not, basketball's right around the corner. And I didn't even ask you this. Did you see the latest Pat Bev post? Did you see this?
No.
Let
me see if I can
find
it.
He's going in on the ATL. It's not Trey related. He was just like, since he caught so much flack from the ATL in defending Trey, he basically made a post, and it's on Instagram somewhere, wherever it was, talking about, you know, he bet against our teams. He bet against the Falcons last week. Mm. It just makes you dislike Pat Beverly even more.
Well, again, he had one elite year of being a defender. He never had a jump shot. And the way he sounds, he's slinging crack rock. Carl, he's just talking a lot of jive. And, look, it's Trey literally is living rent-free, as they say, in his head.
He is.
And I thought Trey, he handled it, the retort, if you don't remember. It was the silliest of arguments. It was literally about, like, why is there more effort in some summer league or summer practices than there is in the All-Star game? And somehow Beverly started taking shots at Trey. Well, now he's, I hope everybody in Atlanta loses. All right, well, good for you.
Yeah, no doubt. Does he have a job? He's not working, right? I mean, he doesn't have an NBA job again, right?
Well, he's pimping his podcast. That's why he's all clickbait.
He played over in Israel last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, how good was he over there? Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell.
I believe he was all Israel.
All Israel, yes. All NBA, all Israel.
Like the three teams in Haifa and Tel Aviv.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, man. Guy Talks on the way as well. We will let you hear what Rusty Manziel had to say about this game, as well as our conversation with the great David Pollack. It is on the way. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, let's talk Dogs. I don't think it's a big secret. We cannot get beat deep. Do not get beat deep. Do not give up these big explosive plays as they did against Tennessee. Easier said than done. We think Alabama's receivers are better than Tennessee's receivers. So with that said, you look at the numbers.
Look at the numbers.
Dogs are ranked 86th against the pass, 102 in sack rate, and 111th in yards allowed per dropback. What does that mean? means they got to get better. Right. And over this last week, I guarantee you, Mike, this is something that Kirby and Schumann and all these guys are working on. Ryan Williams, the stud wide receiver at Alabama, his longest play, 75 yards. You talk about Jermaine Bernard, his longest play, 43 yards. They combined for 227 yards and 3 touchdowns against Wisconsin. That can't happen tomorrow in Athens.
Right. Certainly, you've got, and we talked about it earlier with Rusty Manziel, we're going to play some of that audio later in the show, but, you know, the corners have got to tighten. In the words of Archie Bell in the drill, it's got to tighten up. And that also helps with complementary football with Georgia getting a pass rush. That's why I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but if you look at the numbers, Alabama's not getting pass rush. They're not getting home. They've only got 4 sacks. Georgia's only got 4 sacks. Both teams have struggled defensively. I think edge to Georgia over Alabama in the run game. And that's why, as we said with Rusty, is this one of those games where Bobo will be screaming from the stands, run the damn ball, because Georgia should be able to do the football thing, Carl, by keeping the score low between the tackles. And that's something which I think fans, I think around the country, expect this to be a dial-a score, to be just like the Tennessee game. I think you run the football effectively, and you also keep that high-powered offense you're talking about off the field.
No doubt, guys. Gunnar Stockton, look, where does he need to grow? I think he took a lot of growth in the Tennessee game. There's no debate.
Kirby said he grew up, right?
He did. But, you know, when you say, all right, what more does he need to be better at, or what does he need to be better at, period, maybe it's these intermediate throws, Mike. Look, he showed he can deliver the deep ball, 8 of 11, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns on 3rd and 4th down. So he played big when it mattered and they needed to move the chains. However, when you go back and look at this, and again, they had a week off, Gunner was just 3 for 11 on passes thrown for more than 20 yards down the field. So you say, all right, that's an area where he can improve, and hopefully he does a better job of that. But to Mike's point, if they're running the ball effectively, it's going to take more pressure off of Gunner. And I think, Mike, the game plan they came out with in the second half of the Tennessee game is how you start this game. Don't wait. Run the ball. Let's see if Alabama can man up and stop the run. And if they are not able to do that, it's going to open up a whole lot.
Right. You mentioned Jam Miller because he's back and he's healthy. And that's a big piece for Alabama that they didn't have necessarily 100% their run game against Florida State. But I do think, you know, Carl, Kirby, you feel there's any extra sauce? I don't think Kirby sits there and goes – like Kirby's going to sit there and go, we got to win. I'm 1-6 against these guys. But I do think the team picks up on the magnitude of this game. And I think, you know, last year, look, it's a different quarterback. Carson Beck, you know, he made some critical mistakes. And when he wasn't making mistakes, the receivers were making mistakes. That's last year. Seems like a distant memory. Now you've got guys, you can throw a screen pass and go for 100 yards. You've got some serious athletes at wide receiver for Georgia.
Get the ball in their hands, man. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. That is the number to text us and hit us up on social media as well. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929. The game is, we're live in Athens today. Here's the other thing, guys, and we hadn't talked a lot about him because he hadn't played, but Bama gets their best running back back. Jam Miller, it's his name.
Right. And just mentioned, he's back.
He's back. And, Mike, again, I don't know how rusty he'll be, what he might look like, but they're going to give him the rock. He will tote that thing tomorrow. And so you talk about the Dogs, who are 10th in rushing success rate allowed. Does that matter how you get after the run, how they slow down Jam Miller in this run game against Alabama? They're going to come out and try to get Jam going. And so that's an element, Mike, they haven't really had.
Right.
But Jam Miller hadn't seen, you know, a defense like this yet, but we haven't seen a running back of his capability either.
But again, Jordan Hall, and, you know, we've talked about some of the studs, you know, that you're trying, everybody wants to see who the next, you know, Jalen Carter is, right? Or the Jordan Day, all these guys that were the elites. And I think those guys are yet to be kind of determined as of yet for Georgia, but doesn't mean, you know, it's not going to happen. I think last year, remember, Malachi Starks was banged up to a lot of the season last year.
That's right.
You know, Jalen Walker was pretty much consistent the whole way through. But who are these other guys that are going to be the alphas in the interior of that D-line? Because right now, if I had told you and Georgia fans, you're only going to have 4 sacks
not
going
enough
into the game against Bama, that just doesn't seem right.
It's not enough, man. And that's the thing. You know, I was joking earlier when I was saying they're going to get
after Chris
Ty.
Cole's got 2 of the sacks.
He does. He's like the guy. But I was joking when I said they're going to get after Ty Simpson. I think you have to. I think you got to send some blitzes. I think you've got to create some pressure that hasn't been there, okay? I don't think Kirby and Sherman, again, sit back and go, well, we'll get there with our front four. We'll be all right. These receivers are too good. You cannot do that in this particular game. So I feel like they're going to bring some maybe early blitzes, Mike, to see how this looks. But look, Ty Simpson, guys, and this is funny. David Pollack said yesterday, and you'll hear it later, he said he's not seeing the field Don't allow him to see the field against you.
Right.
Don't allow him to come back there and be comfortable and be like, la-dee-dee. Oh, look, there's Ryan Williams down the field. Can't do it.
Right. But the corners, and we talked about, like, Jalen Everett, he's doing his job. But the rest of the corners, you could argue, Carl, has been at best a work in progress for Georgia. And that's the thing. I mean, look, say what you want about Kalen DeBoer. His brand has taken a huge hit of late. But they're going to try. I think there's no way.
Why don't you ask that Alabama fan over there how he feels about Kalen DeBoer?
No way that Alabama doesn't exploit Georgia's secondary.
Go ahead and ask him. Yeah. How does he feel?
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer. When I was driving back from Tallahassee, I stopped at a Hardee's in Colquitt. And there was a bunch of Alabama fans. We can get Saban back. We can make him the athletic director, too.
He's back.
He'll come back.
He's got an office right there now on the field,
We're going to make his statue even bigger.
How does you feel, sir, about Kalen DeBoer?
We're going to give Saban $50 million. I'll hang up and listen.
Go ahead. We're listening. He's going to be all right. That's confidence there.
You say it with your chest,
that's
sir.
That's a lot of confidence.
Say
right
it
there.
With your chest. Jimmy on the text, like Mike, he goes, I love this. He goes, Georgia, do your football thing. Yes, I did say that. In other words, Gunnar Stockton, create some magic. Gunnar Stockton, do the kind of things that Stetson Bennett did that Carson Beck wasn't able to do. And again, it was small sample size last year. I don't think that Bobo really was dialed in on the game plan. We talked about, you know, Notre Dame last year in the Sugar Bowl or that Alabama first half with Beck. But I think for the first time, and I said this to Carl all 2 weeks ago, never in my life have I not complained on a Monday about Mike Bobo's play calling. But I thought Mike Bobo was freaking great in Tennessee.
He was.
And I got to be honest, I think if Bobo can do what he did with maybe a little more emphasis on the run game and then mix in the play action.
That's complaining.
No, I'm just saying.
I didn't complain about Bobo, but if he runs the ball more.
He needs to run the ball more in this game.
That's complaining, Mike.
If I had a suggestion, run the ball more. Do as I said, that football thing.
All right. Yeah. When you say that, it's like, I have nothing to complain about. But if she only cleaned this house a little bit more.
You just could run the ball against Alabama. He had a perfect sheet for me against Tennessee. I didn't say one negative thing.
No, you didn't.
I love Bobo's play call.
No, you said
2 weeks ago.
You don't know about Saturday what you're going to feel. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. Maybe you feel as confident as this Alabama fan feels here at Grindhouse.
He going to be all right.
That was his comment.
Yeah. He going to be all right.
How do you feel about Kalen DeBoer? I was waiting for him to say, he's the best coach in America, and he's about to prove it.
Well, he's not going
to
say that.
Why not? He didn't feel that confident?
Nobody in Alabama feels that way.
Exactly.
He was looking at his shoes when he said that.
Nobody in Alabama feels that way.
So,
Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. We are getting our butts whipped by a bunch of Euro weenies in the Ryder Cup. We'll give you the update on what's going on today with four ball. Which is not a medical condition. It's actually it's a long story. We'll explain the rules of today's afternoon session. Also, what happened this morning, which was kind of a bloodletting, if we're honest, by the Europeans. Also, guys, something really cool happening at Sanford Stadium on Saturday night. So make sure you're in your seat early. George is advising you to be there early. We'll explain all that. And would you spend like a gazillion dollars on a skateboard coming up?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
On Lumpkin here in Athens. We've got a great crowd. We got your girl, Carl, from your old section at the Falcons is here. Our lady would always go, Snoo, get me one.
Give me one. Keisha and her husband, they are some of our favorite folks. When we first got our tickets, everybody got their PSLs back in, 17, I guess?
Yeah.
Because we've been in there. And her husband, they sit right next to us for the first few years. And they're big Falcon fans. We talk. I hadn't seen her in a few years. So thank you, Mike. Keisha, thank you for coming. Appreciate you guys. But she came through because she loves us. But, yeah, man, huge Falcon fan. And They will be in there this weekend. They will be in there to get these Commanders this weekend. So that's a great section. 117 is where it started, and that's where they are. So good job.
Hey, man, so we're hanging out here, getting ready for the Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Tide. If you're going to the game, get there early. They're saying now, again, not everybody gets there by 5:30, but I think they said 68,000 folks will get those wristbands. And you've seen this at major sporting events, World Cup, Formula One. They do it at the World Series now, too, where the wristband basically can do different color combinations and stuff. And it'll look really dynamic on television. So make sure if you get there early, give yourself some extra time. Because from what I've read today in the Athens Banner-Herald, they will not be available at every gate. Not every gate will have those wristbands. Okay. So if you're looking for it, get in there. By the way, Carl, before we get too deep in the segment, shout out to Julie the librarian.
Julie!
Who listens to us. And again, we got a captive audience. She drives all over. She's the head librarian, literally, for the state of Georgia.
Yeah, she said she's on the road a lot. She listens to us. And we're very appreciative. But thank you for coming out, Julie. Thank you for what you do. All right, and it was great to meet her, man. This couple sitting next to us, the husband and wife,
that was very sweet.
Right.
It was very nice of her. It really was.
And she asked me to say, Jeremy and Buckhead, we know the books you have, and they are overdue.
How much does he owe?
Yeah, so I believe that's from the Buckhead Library, and the interest is, she's like a bookie. The juice is running, so get on that if you can. All right, man. Ryder Cup in action this morning. You and I were both watching as much as we could before we get in the car to get to Athens. We get smushed 3-1.
Yeah, it was bad.
And not only it's not just losing 3-1. Again, guys, it's how we lost. 4-3 means you're up 4 with 3 holes to go. 5-3 up. You know, just you're basically winning. You know, the phrase "dormy 4," right? Just you're smoking. Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood humiliated Harris English and Colin Morikawa. 5-4.
Did these guys come to play?
You don't even get to play the final 4 holes.
I mean, Mike, did we not come to play? You're on your home turf.
Right.
Everybody up there at Bethpage is waiting for something good to happen.
Right.
And they got nothing to cheer about.
No, the crowd was trying to rally. And unfortunately, there's just no juice. The one guy you had to pull for, the human filibuster, Patrick Cantlay.
True.
Who takes 7 minutes to swing his golf club. Matter of fact, he literally had everyone in a holding pattern, including the president. Marine One was hovering over Bethpage Black, kind of circling, because he didn't want to basically interrupt and have the jet wash and everything while these guys are basically on the final hole of the first round this morning, making their way up 18. But Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele beat McIntyre and Hovland, and then the president landed. And then he's getting killed. Now, again, this is not a political statement. This is just a fashion statement. Wearing golf shoes with a suit. Your thoughts?
Well, he's a golfer. We know that. He is a big supporter of these kinds of events. And he's on the course. So I have no issue with it.
And again, he can wear whatever he wants. But again, if a guy that owns a golf course wants to wear golf shoes, I think he's allowed.
Yeah.
It's like with Mr. Cousins. Why is Mr. Cousins in a golf cart? Because East Lake is his. You know what I mean? And nobody else gets a golf cart. There's different rules. So, yeah, but I thought, we make fun of guys that wear spikes at golf tournaments, but I think the president,
and they were probably soft spikes, but still.
He doesn't want to ruin the greens. Meanwhile, we're getting squished again. This is the afternoon session. Sepp Straka and John Rahm. There are 3 up on Scottie Scheffler and J.J. Spawn.
Come on, Scotty!
And you and I have been watching here at the Grindhouse in Athens. Scheffler can't make those putts today, man.
He's not putting well at all. Look, this started this morning. He wasn't putting well, and it was one of my concerns. Like, I'm watching, I'm going, man, he's just a little off. Usually he's right around. I mean, we're talking about lipping putts out close. He was just off. And look, these guys, for those who don't know, have their caddies with them. This is not like them reading putts on their own.
Right.
Every guy that's participating in this, even the Euros, they've got their caddies with them. So this is as normal as it gets when you talk about, hey, we're going to go out and play around. It's just the circumstances surrounding the Ryder Cup. But, Mike, that is a surprise. Like, I expected Scheffler and Spahn to really play much better than they have. They're getting drubbed.
Right now, best we've got going for us, Justin Thomas and Cameron Young, 5 up on Rasmus Højgaard Hogar. And that's a Game of Thrones reference. Hodor, and Ludvig Åberg. By the way, I've mispronounced it. It is Åberg. The A with a little O on top. It's Åberg.
Yeah.
But Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood. And Fleetwood's been a warrior so far. He and Bryson DeChambeau and Ben Griffin all square. And it was the president walking Bryson out to the tee box, which is kind of cool. Got some big reaction on that. And then Rory McIlroy, he gets up for the Ryder Cup. Two Irishmen. Two-fisted Irishmen. Him and Shane Lowry are 2 up on Patrick Cantlay and the ladies' choice, Sam Burns.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't look good. The good news is you got tomorrow. Maybe you can make a run. We're going to win one
of these. Nothing is over. You just don't turn it off.
Yeah, we're going to win one of these, but it looks like we're going to lose 2. at least. And then you're talking about, what, Mike, 4-1, 5-2 maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you could potentially, if this holds as right now, you'd be down 6-2 from the first eight matches. And that's going to be really a difficult uphill battle. And again, I know the points.
What did the Euros do? Let's take their hearts.
Yes. Well, I got to be honest. Rory, if you didn't see Rory yesterday at the press conference, not like he's trying to win hearts and minds. He goes, America is the best country in the world, and I'm so glad to be living here. And he was really kissing up. I think we all agree America is. We do have our issues, but we're still the best country. But Rory was saying all the right things yesterday in his press conference, and they've just gone out there and whipped butt. Him and Fleetwood. And Fleetwood joked around. He goes, yeah, I'm the feel-good story, you know, winning a major. But now it's like people are ready to, you know, to get the knives out at Bethpage. But right now, Americans have got not much to cheer about. It is what it is. Another thing they're not cheering about up at Bethpage Black, holy ripoff. I mean, you're paying the Americans $500,000, $300,000, which goes to charity. Carl says it's okay. I got a problem with it. But now you're ripping off the fans. A 16-ounce Mick Ultra or Bud Light, $15. $15. Carl, for the price of a case, you're getting one beer.
And that's what I would have done. I would have brought a case in, but that's me.
Yeah, well, good luck sneaking a case in at Bethpage.
I would have had like gall kind of stuff down my leg. $15, $16 for one brew?
Yes, wine at $14 per glass, one of those single serve can things they put out there. $18 for a 25-ounce, 16-ounce for a 16-ounce premium, and if you want a 19-ounce, it's $19. That's insane. We're in a college town, man. I remember Nickel Beer Nights down in Tallahassee, and they had it here in Athens, too. Now I think it's like $1.25, long necks, but you get the idea.
Still a good price.
A good value, but that seems to me like highway robbery, brother.
Yeah, it's a lot. And look, a lot of people, you know, this is one of those events. People come from all over the world. The Ryder Cup is unique that way. That's why, like, when it was overseas, right, it was Rome 2 years ago. People are like, oh, let's go to Rome. The Ryder Cup's going on. You've got people from all over the world coming. And, look, they know that. And so they're taking advantage of that opportunity. I'm not going to say it's price gouging. I don't necessarily agree with the pricing at an event like this when you and I both know a beer should be like $6.
Right on. Hey, man, we didn't get to this week. I think I heard it on Andy and Randy earlier this week. One of the great stories from the Final Four about 6 years ago, Sister Jean is retiring. She's 106 at Loyola of Chicago, and she's been the chaplain for the team and other sports and does a lot of work on the campus, but finally says it's time to slow things. 106, and she said it's time to slow things down.
She's a saint. I mean that. She's been so instrumental for that program. And
it was a hell of a story, man, getting all the way to the Final Four.
No, man.
They lost in the semis that year.
It's a great story, and look, we wish her nothing but the best, but at 106, I don't know about you, I think it's probably time to step away.
By the way, do you and I want to be Statler and Waldorf, the old Muppets in the balcony? Hey, Carl, I don't know. What do you make of this?
106, that's it.
Georgia coach Kirby Smart Jr. or something. Whatever. What would it be if we're doing the show in 40 years?
It's a lot. It's a lot, bro. I don't know if I'd be able to – look, I hope
– I don't like the NFL since they went to robots, Carl.
How old is who calls the games on Prime, Mike?
Al Michaels.
How old is Al?
I think Al's 80.
Is he 80?
I want to say, I'll look it up right
now. And
Al's
still
– or in my computer, I got like 18 things opened up.
He's still doing his thing, but my point is, like, Al could have retired years ago, guys. He's made a lot of money. The bottom line, though, is he loves to do it.
80.
Yeah, he's still good. If you can be good at 80, then do your thing. But the problem is a lot of people can't. And I don't know if I want to be doing whatever it is
well,
at
I mean,
80.
My thing is, you know, and got a lot of guys. Folks,
are we on?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man. I don't know if I want to be doing that. I don't know if I want to be doing that.
Well, no, I think if we're still doing the show in 40 years from now, we'll have holograms of us. The Dukes of Hell hologram. No, Al Michaels gets heat. A lot of folks, and I don't know if it's a younger thing. I like Al. I just don't think he's paired with a compelling cohort. I think if you had a Richard Sherman and Fitzpatrick, they had Fitzpatrick in the booth the other night for about, I think, a quarter, just to bounce things up because Herb Street just doesn't give you anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nothing against Herb Street. He's adequate at what he does, but to me, he's just his brand is college. I'd like to see Al with some fresh blood and some younger guys and see if that would maybe spur a little more juice. Either way, speaking of being old, boy, did I feel like an 85-year-old parking the pickup truck today here at Grindhouse. Remember the scene in Austin Powers in the movie when he's in the golf cart? In Dr. Evil's lair, and he gets the golf cart caught in a narrow hallway. and he does like a 27-point turn. That was me trying to park the F-150. Maybe I should have gone with a smaller vehicle. It is a bit of a tight space. But thanks to a guy named Rick, who was leaving today. He was also in a vehicle of equal or greater size, and he was in the same boat. So the two of us, Carl, it was literally like watching manatees, like in a hot tub, trying to one vehicle pulls out, the other gets in. But I was able to get – I had to shimmy out the back window, though, to get here. But
look,
we made it.
It's the thing about those full-size trucks. They're great, but they're not easy to park.
Correct.
Not all the time, especially when it's tight. It's a tight parking lot.
So. You could use like a little person to hop out of the back with those cones they use at the airport to get the plane in.
Wait a minute, a little person?
Well, you can't say the other word.
You want a little person to hop out of the back truck and have cones?
Well, I've got the leather cover on the back of the truck. We could put something like a little blanket back there for him. You know, he could hop out and have like those red cones.
Where is
that gets the airplane?
What are you feeding this little person? Is he living in the back of the bed of your truck?
Well, we stop it.
What
like,
are we talking about?
Hey, guys, what's coming up next here on the show?
I get the little person. No, I didn't say you can't. The other word that begins with an M. But I did say to Carl.
But the way you said that, I'm like, all right, it's time for the little person to get out and guide me to my parking spot.
Is Steve Coonan next?
What I need for this truck is the same guy with the cones that gets the 757 those final 50 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
I need a little person to hop out. He can live in the thing rent-free if he wants. Anyway, that's Guy Talk live from our buddies here at Grindhouse in Athens.
Coming up, Steve Kuhn is going to join us. National recognition for our Hawks, guys. Have you heard about this? We'll tell you about that. We'll talk to Steve Kuhn coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live in Athens.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live in Athens, Grindhouse Killer Burgers. Again, big shout out to Johnny and his staff here. They do such a terrific job right here on Lumpkin. Getting ready for tomorrow's contest, guys. Alabama and Georgia tomorrow night at Sanford Stadium. And Steve Kuhn, a proud Georgia alum, Hawks CEO, joins us as he does on a weekly basis.
Right.
And Steve, let's start here. Look, we know the NBA season's right around the corner. We have some Hawks news we'll talk about. But another big one here in Athens for Kirby Smart, and everybody's talking about, you know, all right, Kirby having issues beating Alabama. He's only beaten them once, one out of seven. I don't think that's the storyline, but I want to get your thoughts on this because Kirby understands you got to win these games, and specifically against Alabama. Most of that, by the way, was against Nick Saban, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you recall last year's game, Alabama, I think, got out to a 28-0 lead. Right. We took the lead, and then their wide receiver number two, who's probably the biggest threat to us winning the game, Ryan Williams,
right.
Tomorrow night made one of the great catches of all times, and we lost. That said, I have full confidence that Georgia will deliver. I think the Tennessee game was as good a game as we could have hoped for because it made us realize the intestinal fortitude that we have and that when we were challenged, we rose to the occasion, and that was nothing but grit, you know, or Kirby was saying, aggression.
Elite aggression. By the way, I was saying to Carl, I got to ask Steve, because we're here in Athens, what was college Steve Kuhn like? What was he all about?
You ever seen Animal House?
Yeah.
I am Senator Blutarski.
0.0 grade point average. And did you run with Dr. Bobby, right? Bobby Kaufman was your pal?
Yeah, a little younger than me, but absolutely. Yeah. And again, more hijinks than education. Thank goodness I was born back when I was born, because that is one fantastic academic school there. And we're very fortunate. We have a family scholarship at the Grady school, and I approached them and said, I'd like to do something, you know, possibly to help a group that nobody ever helps is C students. And they looked at me like I had antenna coming out of my head, and they explained, Mr. Coonan, we don't have C students here. It's like, oh, okay, good. Glad I don't go here anymore.
Steve Coonan, our guest, guys. Yeah, and look, Georgia here tomorrow night, it's always a big-time atmosphere. Do you have a favorite home game or memory outside of the recent national championships that stand out for you? I was just talking to one of our friends here, and he was talking about when he was a student, the year that they get blown out here, the Braves win the World Series. And he was just talking about, you know, how things work and depending on when you're a student and what was going on with your team. Do you have a moment, Steve?
I don't have a lot of memories.
It tells us everything.
I really don't. You know, I mean, we went to a couple of Sugar Bowls. We played Pittsburgh and won. We played Penn State and won. Neither one turned out well. But I do have a lot of memories, but I don't have a lot of precise memories. I remember Prince Charles coming to a game. That was
right.
That was kind of cool. And he ate at Steve Arena's, which, you know, I don't know if that's still there, but I thought that was kind of cool. So
you
can see kind of where
my
memories were slanted, that I'm recalling sandwiches and alcohol and Prince Charles.
Steve also wrote all of Herschel Walker's papers, Carl, when he was here at Georgia.
I was gone.
He's a creative guy.
I was gone.
He's a creative guy.
Steve's with us, guys. If you're just tuning in, he's the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks and a big muckety-muck from the TV world with Turner Broadcast before he got to the NBA. And, again, a big, big lifetime Georgia Bulldog fan. And, again, a game like this, I mean, it's a great weekend for college football, Steve, but, you know, for this is why ABC and Disney spent all that money to have games like this on, and the, you know, the atmosphere is going to be electric. You think this will be the highest-rated game so far this season?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. The Ohio State game, I think, is – well, you know what? I'll tell you, the Penn State-Oregon game, if it's good, could bite into it.
Because,
yeah, that's the same time. But I do think – I mean, you got Ohio State playing at Washington, which is I was listening to Scott Van Pelt. His producer, Stanford Steve, said it was the hardest place he ever played, which I – you know, have no context for playing at Washington, but that you could see a lot of upsets tomorrow. You really could. You could see a lot of upsets, and hopefully Georgia sticks to their knitting, does what they need to do, and, you know, we move on.
All right, let's talk about moving on with our Atlanta Hawks. Season's right around the corner. First things first, we got some national recognition. Several Hawks were named to the ESPN's top 100 players list. Look, you can say this doesn't mean anything, but what it means is people around the country are recognizing the roster and the players on this roster. And I think that's a good thing. You know, Mike and I saw this, and our producer Day-Day was like, look, man, a bunch of our guys on this team, you know, including some guys that are new to the team, are listed in this top 100. Steve, I think that bodes well for, I guess, the expectation of what this season might be.
Well, first of all, you could say it doesn't mean anything. Let's be clear. I didn't say that. I was ecstatic to see six of our players in there. You know, and I also saw commentary that Jalen should be a top 25 player and Trey returning to the top 15. And, you know, I love seeing, you know, Okongwu and the Keel and Porzingis in there. So, you know, on paper, I'm really, really excited. I want the city to get excited about it because I do think something special is about to happen. And I really, really hope that we have a great season, stay healthy, and, you know, give the fans something to sink their teeth into and cheer.
Steve Coonan is with us, guys, talking about the Hawks. Before you know it, the season will be here. We talked last week about Patrick Beverly, who's now, Carl, wished a curse on all Atlanta sports teams, including college squads as well. So that beef continues. Meanwhile, Steve, we're watching today. I don't know how much you've got to watch today of the Ryder Cup, but geez Louise.
I haven't missed a minute.
It's been brutal. And unfortunately, I mean, there's going to be a big mountain to climb. Right now, it's 3-2 Europe over USA and leading the three remaining matches. So, I mean, if you're up 6-2, I mean, that's almost insurmountable. But we've seen some comebacks, but this one seems like it might be too much over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, John Rahm's just a beast, and so is Rory McIlroy. And, you know, Scottie Scheffler has not risen to the top of this kind of competition, which is the only competition. Rahm just sunk a clinching birdie putt, I think, for Europe. Yep. So it's there's a lot of football this weekend, man. I mean, thinking golf. Golf,
we love golf
on Friday.
Right. We love it, but and the site, you know, the setting being in New York and the crowd's going to be so raucous. You're not giving the crowd, Carl, anything to be raucous over.
Yeah.
No.
It's frustrating and disappointing at the same time. Again, it's not over, but I expect them to come out and then have the crowd into it all weekend long. That was the kind of thing that I was hoping for with this particular Ryder Cup. Steve, I want to ask you, as we talk to Steve Kuhn, and Falcon Report's on the way, guys, the latest on the injury report, Jaden Daniels, will he play? We'll tell you. Also, Terry McLaurin, an update there, and the latest on our Falcons, as well as more dog talk coming up in less than 10 minutes. Steve, do you think there's any concern regarding the YouTube TV's contract dispute with NBC? Mm. Is the NBA concerned about their first season back on NBC in any way?
Well, I have not talked to anybody at the league, and I have read, and the issues are incredibly complex about content ingestion, which I think would make our listeners switch the channel, so I won't do that.
Content ingestion? It sounds like a side effect from some drug ad.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is who controls the customer, who gets the data. Mm. And that's what the fight is, and it's precedent setting. So Google, this is a tiny little division of Google, but for NBC, they've got a whole lot invested, including the launch of the NBA, Sunday Night Football, the Olympics, All-Star Game, and Super Bowl. Right. So this will get resolved. I can't tell you what day it will get resolved, but this will get resolved because it has to get resolved.
Hmm. Okay.
How is that for an unfulfilling answer?
No, it is. I just you see these things and you go, all right.
It's just so frustrating. We talk about it almost every week. I mean, it's like you've got to have 5 streaming services plus your basic cable or your satellite. And everyone says cut the cord, but as we say on the show, Steve, it's not that easy. You know,
it's not. It's not, and it's complex, and you have so many services, and all of a sudden the cable bundle looks like a pretty good value again.
Exactly right. All right, Steve. Good luck this weekend.
I said, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Maximum aggression this weekend.
By the way, we got it at 2.5, Steve. You like the Dogs minus 2.5?
Would you stop putting our CEO in jeopardy?
What?
He cannot do these things.
I have one word for you, Mike. Kalshi.
For those that are not familiar,
is he talking about a breakfast cereal bowl?
Yes.
Is he talking about a breakfast cereal or a betting platform
where you can bet on futures? There you go. Jump on it. I think Steve's saying with a firm he likes that pick, Carl.
Yeah. All right, Steve Kuhn. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, guys. Safe travels. Let's go, Dogs.
Go, Dogs. That's Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO. Again, proud Georgia alum, and I agree with him. I know we're some weeks away, but I do think some good things are going to happen with this Hawks team. Health is what it's all about. Jalen's got to stay healthy, Mike. We know that.
Right.
But
this is a year where, you know, you and I have said it. If you're not going to do a new deal for – and I wouldn't yet.
Trey?
Either. Let Trey play with the best guys he's played, arguably, yeah, since 21, and see what we do. And certainly – even Porzingis at this stage of his career is better than arguably anyone he's played with. You know, we've added defense. Jalen is the crucial. That's the key. That's the crucial piece you just touched on. Got to stay healthy. But I know this year, hopefully, we're talking about not going to get out of this play-in rut. Falcons can't make the playoffs. And the Braves, and as you say, the Hawks are just stuck in this rut.
Yeah.
To be locked in where we know we're going to have, you know, as a 4 seed, maybe even as a 3 seed, it's possible.
It is possible. All right. Coming up, should I say, 5 o'clock hour, Falcons report. We'll get you caught up on the latest injuries. The Zach Robinson conversation is still front and center, guys.
Everybody's talking about us.
This is something
not good, but they're talking.
This is true. Yeah, all publicity is not necessarily good publicity. But we will talk about the latest with that and this offense. Also, coming up, our conversation with David Pollack and his thoughts on Georgia, Alabama, and what did Rusty Manziel have to say about what he believes they have to do tomorrow to get this win against Bama. It's all coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here, live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's Dukes and Bell in Athens.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.